Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey,
how's everything?
Good.
All right. Good. Okay, so we've had, quite a few very robust calls of late. And, I want to start the call today with anything that's on your mind, anything that concerns you about what we've been going through, anything that you want to discuss. So let's, as we always start, let's start with your agenda, and then we'll move into some fresh material today.
Sounds good.
All right.
You got anything?
Maybe just one thing.
Okay.
The call schedule, maybe those calls should maybe be an hour apart instead of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, because you're finding that they're flowing into each other and, people keeping you on a little longer. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I feel like there's too many in one day and they're they run longer than 30 minutes and then it kind of creates a domino effect.
Okay, okay.
For Sally, I just think it's really, really hard to stay so scheduled with so many calls in a row.
Okay. How many are you doing a day, by the way?
Well, let me qualify that. This month we're doing more than normal because we stacked the folks that would normally have a monthly call into the same month as the people that would have a quarterly call.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there's some days here where I'll do 12.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's big.
No kidding. And that's
a good hard working guy.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. It's just I just the reason why I did it this way this first month and he's right. I mean, it's too many. But I wanted to get the Department of Labor reg stuff off our desk and done and out of the way, all the documents for that. And so we're done with the retirement plans. And we're almost done. We'll be done, I think, this weekend with the documents on all the individual IRAs and all that. And so if I didn't make them part of the call schedule for this whole month, on top of all the stuff that's been going on in the market in the last 10 days with the... But if I hadn't have done that, then it would have extended the OL out another month to where if I'd have pushed it into March, then it would have added another 30 days to that project. And I just kind of wanted to get it done and wrapped up by the end of February. But I think she's got a valid point. I mean, I'm probably running over some. Like I just did this call a minute ago where a meeting had run over, two meetings this morning had run over. So by the time I got on the call with this one guy, it was a little later than what I expected. He didn't mind. The next one's a little later than expected. He didn't mind. He's coming in Monday to add some accounts. But the bottom line is, she's absolutely right. I mean, I probably should have set these up to where maybe they were spaced out a little bit more,
Okay.
If the calls do run over. Either that or I need to find a way to shorten them up, One or the other, either space them out or shorten them up or both.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you are being extremely proactive, and that's really a great thing. Are agendas going out to your clients in advance of the calls to keep them focused?
I kind of like what Bridget's done. It's not a specific agenda, but you may have a different opinion on this, but it's just a little email that says, hey, Kelly's going to be calling you at such and such time on Tuesday or whatever. And it's a nice little reminder. We're not in a full agenda. What I am doing with all of them, though, right now is I'm doing the follow-up emails. And that I'm getting a better handle on. It's been an adjustment for me, and I'm not saving them in our system or even copying Bridget on it because I don't want to hit her with 20 emails of all these follow-up emails in a day. I might send her two a day or something like that.
Okay.
I'm saving those, though, the summary.
Yeah, but I'm only sending you the ones where there's some sort of call to action that requires you to be involved in it. I'm not sending you the ones that you know, there's no call to action for you. So I've got a bunch of things in my sent box that I need to figure out how to save into our client view system. So some of those logistics are things that I'm kind of struggling with, quite frankly. But I can take on something new like this and go full
board. Oh yeah, it takes a while. Mm-hmm.
This kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not upset about it. It's just I know that, you know, when it settles down a little bit and we're not dealing with all the market upheaval and stuff like that, that sit down with Bridget and maybe we adjust the calendar a little bit. But what I'm trying to say more than anything else is, yeah, February is pretty rough because of all of the way the calendar is set up on these days. March and April are much more spread out because they're quarterly calls, which there's a lot of them, quite frankly, probably too many, are not going to hit in those months. So that March and April call calendar is going to look a lot more sane than the February one does because of that.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe by, whether it be March, April, by May, maybe I'm, you know, where our systems are hardwired enough on my end, that's nothing to order, but with me, to where, you know, April goes a lot more smoother than February. But so far it seems to be going, I don't know, maybe I'm a guy in denial, but it seems to be doing okay. I mean, I'm not hitting on all cylinders with the system like I would like to, but we're doing it a whole lot more true to form than we ever did at any point prior to this.
Okay.
And when we went through but that's largely, honestly, that's largely attributable to Bridget and what she's done on the organization front.
Okay. Great.
No. Don't credit it to me, please.
She's done just a fantastic job on that. So, she's probably, she's the most organized person I've ever seen. It's just like,
wow.
Yeah, the PhD. Organizing businesses or something. It's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
So she's the right person for this system. I'm not sure that my type A personality, I always think, okay, well, I get this done in 30 minutes when it takes, you know, 45 or whatever. And that's part of what I'm seeing flow through on that calendar, too, is just me. Like with this DOL thing, it's due, got to be wrapped up, I think, beginning of June. I just want it out of the way and done well and done right, of course, so that we can focus on taking care of clients because, no offense to compliance and all that, but all this stuff is really just a bunch of hogwash BS.
You got to pay attention to it.
I'd rather be the one that they go, well, hell, he got all his stuff done, you know, 90 days early, and it looks really good, and it's tied up and all that. And, you know, it kind of blends well with Supernova. Like, I'm calling them anyway.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I got to follow all these forms for their IRA, but I'll come in on a Saturday. Actually, what I did is I wrote it out by hand. I'm going to probably spend 5 or 6 hours up here on Saturday just typing it all in, you know, and I'll get where I do that once a year so that I'm quote-unquote DOL compliant. It doesn't really help define it, but it, you know, it satisfies the DOL, right? So
Sure. Yeah, all the transparency, right, that's required.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Bridget? Because you may think very differently than what I'm saying. And I'm not sure where Audrey is. She might be with
her. I think everything's going well. I think the follow-up emails are really, really good. The ones I've seen, the summaries, I think they make a lot of sense. They keep them looking to what we're doing, what we're working on for them. I just think the calls, like, I mean, because you're already bringing in more assets, like just in the last couple of weeks from these calls, they're too short. Like, 30 minutes is not, like, if you do have somebody bringing in something or needing to do something, like, the 30-minute time slot is not enough time because you don't know, you know, you don't know what's going to happen on the call.
Yeah, this is kind of centered. Let me interrupt for a second, if I may. Can I?
Yeah.
Are your parents jumping in, Bridget?
Sure.
I'm kind of talking over. I gotta share the story. It's kind of interesting. So you were asking, you know, are you sending out an agenda? Well, we're not really quote unquote sending out an organized full agenda. This is what we're going to cover. Maybe we should. I don't know. But that we're not. But she's very good about, you know, sending them. You know, Kelly's going to be calling you at 2 o'clock. You know, next Tuesday or whatever it is, tomorrow or whatever. Well, one of these went to one of our biggest clients, and every year he adds somewhere between, I don't know, 700,000. He usually does it around April of each year, maybe May. And she sends him this little email, and he's like, well, I want to go ahead and add to my account. And I didn't even have to talk to him about it. I think she talked to him, and he added like 600 grand. Just boom, here it is, you know. Just from one little email. And normally what I have to do is get in the car, drive about 2 hours, go see him, go, oh, it was a good year. Yeah, it was a pretty good year. Okay, well, you want to move any money from the Wells Fargo account? Because he banks at Wells Fargo. He's like,
okay.
Yeah, you know, but I've done that every year for, I don't know, however many years. And she sends up this one little email. I was like, oh, I'm ready to add to my account. And it's the day when the market was down like 700 points, which was kind of even more remarkable when you think about it, because it wasn't like the sentiment was all that good. But just the sensation and having a system like that, I think it sends a message to them that, you know, hey, you know, we're operating. You know, I talked to his son this morning. He was one of the calls I did today, and we're kind of hitting that next generation. He's got probably, between his profit sharing plan, his personal assets, he's got, you know, close to $20 million with us, you know.
Wow.
You know, one little email, here's another 600 grand. I'm like, well, hell, I didn't have to do anything.
It's the little thing.
And set up a supernova call schedule, but that was about it. I mean.
Yeah, wow. That's a great story. That's a great story. It's
but it's triggered his mind enough to where he's like, yeah, I got this sitting over here. I need to do something with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're doing okay. I mean, I could be doing a lot better.
I think you're Kelly, let me interrupt only because I think you're doing an amazing job with everything. I really, really do. I just think when it comes to that type of call schedule where it's back to back to back to back, it gives you zero room to really, if they do have something that they really want to talk about, and because you have so many things that you need to get done in the call, it doesn't give any opportunity for any hang-ups. It's like you literally have to get on and then get off.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I mean, so here's what I'll do. You know, March and April will be a lot more sane because we're not loading in those quarterly calls. But I think I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, in March call the ones that are in April that are quarterlies and just space them out a little bit more. Maybe move them to a different day or something to where
right.
we space those out on the calendar more. I'm just going to go ahead and actually do something there because one thing I've learned from working around Bridget, if she says something, it's usually very accurate. I can sit there and try to say, oh, no, it'll go smoother in April. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I think a call to action is really needed there to just kind of space that calendar out a little bit more. And that's on me. I mean, it won't be, but probably a dozen or so calls. And it just will be a modification to the calendar. But a little small tweak like that makes it a lot easier. If I don't do that, then my other backup, if I status quo it, is to shorten the calls. And honestly, maybe this is a function of my personality, but I get to talking with somebody, and they're talking, and actually they're probably doing more talking than I'm talking. But, you know, I don't want to cut them off. Now, there's a few, like we mentioned in the prior call, where they just can't stop. But, you know, I don't want to take somebody who might go 28 minutes and shorten them to 20 just because I got to get off the call to call somebody else. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't
want
to be so rigid.
Sure.
Like, well, what the hell is this guy's deal? He just, you know, we had a wonderful visit, and all of a sudden he just kind of, like, went kind of weirdo on me or whatever. I mean, I don't want to do that
right.
to my clients.
No.
For the most part. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to them tell me all their funny stories that they got to tell me. Or like today, you know, when I'm just going on about, shit, I really don't know what to do in this situation. You know, he goes, it's not like I'm my first rodeo, but he's like, I'm a little, nobody's freaking out, but they're, you know, they're concerned. And there's a continuum of attitudes out there. But I think it's just my tweak to April and the subsequent months where we have those quarterly calls. I'm just going to have to space them out because
either they're not going to
want to talk that short a period of time, or I'm going to mention something and we're going to get off on a tangent and we'll start talking about stuff. And maybe that's the way we shouldn't be doing it. I mean, maybe we need to be more mechanical. But honestly, if I can get to the topic,
I get to the topic.
I told him today, I go, hey, this is a really great call. This is helpful. He goes, man, it's helped a lot. He goes, I'm going to come in on Monday. I'm going to bring my wife. I'm going to move to this other account. Like, good. And we'll update, you know, we got your wealth plan updated and all that. And instead of talking about the topic in that case, I just said, here, you know, I got a neat little deal. It's about 2 or 3 pages. We'll talk about it next time you're in about the tax
purposes.
And I said, it's in plain English. It's, you know, we're coming into tax season. I think this might be really helpful for you. And sometimes we get to the topic. Sometimes we don't. I think about half of the time we get to the topic. About half the time we're not. But maybe now we're getting to the topic a little bit more than that. We're getting to the topic probably about 70% of the time. But with the market in an upheaval the last week or so, I always like you do with us, what would you like to share? What's on your mind? I mean, what's new that maybe I don't know about? And that's a great question because I'm getting a lot of feedback on that. I don't have anybody go, well, nothing. Something's happening.
You know? Sure.
I haven't had one yet go, well, not really anything, you know? But I've got some good ideas. I'm going to stop talking. I mean, I'm kind of dominating the call right now, but I think we're going to be okay, but I need to make some adjustments to that calendar, like she's saying. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, it really, really sounds good. that you're proactive. And yes, you're going to be making tweaks and adjustments throughout this process. I mean, you know, you've only been engaged for like, God, we've been like working together for like 10 weeks. I mean, it's just really amazing what's happening. What I envision that will probably happen, that you'll probably have 1 to 3 bullets on the email reminders, okay, that are triggers for clients that keep them a little bit focused. And remember, when you do your executive summary, it's gonna identify the next steps or things that you didn't get to talk about that'll be set up on the next month's agenda. So, what's gonna happen is that you're gonna have a pipeline of this activity that is going to really improve revenue. You're improving service. The one thing I think that's going to be explosive is once we start really moving toward the referral piece, you're probably going to end up raising your targets fairly soon in terms of the actual clients that you can deliver, you know, this exceptional service to. So I kind of see that happening. But, you know, your summary, next step, call to action for the next time, that's critical. You know, great job on, you know, getting the email reminders out. You, just in the short period of time that we've been working together, I keep hearing these stories about the asset flows that are coming in. And that's fantastic.
Can I share a quick story? Because it's kind of funny.
Yeah, sure.
So this happened like several weeks ago. And and the COI thing was on my mind because we had a COI call.
Okay.
So we moved into a new house that we redid about 6 months ago. Okay.
Okay.
And it's across the street in one house over from the house we lived in for like 16, 17 years. Okay.
Okay.
And the guy that's next door to us now is he's a trial attorney. Okay.
Okay.
He's an injury attorney. He does medical malpractice suits. So he goes out and sues, you know, basically represents clients that sue doctors that, you know, screw up a procedure or whatever.
Okay.
And I knew he had a medical malpractice, but I didn't know it until I moved in next door to him because we were talking one day and we were talking about lawns and stuff like that, just kind of shooting the breeze out in the front yard, just kind of making conversation.
Uh-huh. And,
anyway, his name's Glenn Cunningham. And so, you know, I was asking him about his wife and his daughter and learning more about his business and all that kind of good stuff because I was kind of curious about it. And
uh-huh.
Anyway, so long story short, a couple of days pass. I'm in the driveway. He kind of peeps his head over the fence and looks over at me and he says, "Hey, you got a minute? I need to talk to you." I said, "Sure." So I met him up in the front yard and he said, "I don't mean to be a nuisance, but he's like, my electrician's here right now." And he goes, "You know, y'all have that carport that shuts up to the back of our backyard and it's got a light in it." And he goes, "Y'all left the light on last night." And, and that light comes over into our bedroom. So I'm starting to laugh because I'm getting this mental image of this guy, you know, having like
thinking you're spying on him
for like this moment with his wife,
right.
And the light from the neighbor's yard flowing into their bedroom that otherwise
would be
dark or whatever. So I'm kind of like, "Okay, well, keep going, Glenn. I'm really sorry." He's like, "Well, the electrician's here, and I could put in a motion to send for light. Because I'm having him put it in my yard, can we have him come over and put it in your carport?" And I said, "Sure." And I said, "I'm getting ready to leave, but I said, you know, I'll leave you a check, and you just fill in the amount. I trust you. I mean, it's not like you're gonna, it's gonna be some crazy quote."
Right.
I know the electrician pretty well, and he goes, "No, no." He goes, "Just come see me and get the receipt and pay me when I have the receipt. I'd feel better doing it that way." So that's cool. Fine. I'll do it.
Okay.
So I do all that. Long story short, we get to talking and I start to tell him about, you know, this plan that we put together for one of our prospects that came in through a referral who also
uh-huh.
plaintiff's attorney. And then he started opening up, telling me about some stuff he was doing and his personal stuff. And so we kind of compared and contrast that. We did it all in about 2 minutes in the driveway. As I'm handing him the check to pay for the electrician that just put in the motion light in our carport so he can
right.
have his private moment with his wife. So anyway, so we're going over all this stuff. And he goes, "You know," he goes, "I'm president of the San Antonio Trial Lawyers Association, and we have a monthly meeting with about 40 really good attorneys. I'd like for you to come and talk." "Sure, I'd love to do that." So yeah, and what kind of spurred it was, as we were talking about all this stuff, I think I sent you a marketing piece on it many weeks back,
uh-huh.
4 or 5 weeks back on injury awards and stuff, and
what right.
to help them get more tax deferrals and blah, blah, blah. I said, "Glenn, would you be willing to look at this marketing piece that our group put together?" I go, "I really want to get inside the head of somebody who is in our target market and see if this is something that when you read it, you know, you'll find it appealing, and you know, if it needs edits, you could give us edits. You could basically, you know, just be kind of like a coach to us." He said, "I'd love to do that." And then he said, "Oh, by the way," he goes, "this year, I'm president of the Texas Trial Lawyers Association." He goes, "We have a statewide annual conference. Would y'all be willing to come and speak at that about these topics?" And I was like, "Sure." And he goes, "You might have to pay a little bit of money, you know, to get into that deal." But I was sitting there and I was like, "Holy cow, here's my next door neighbor. You know, he's basically...
He's become an instant center of influence.
He just became a COI, and it all started with a carport light that was blasting into his bedroom at night. Isn't that crazy? I was like...
Oh, that's unbelievable. You've got good karma.
I mean, it's like, and I mean, he literally has lived across the street in one house over from us before we moved for like the last 18 years. I've never once talked to him at all about what do you do, how do you do it, or any of that. I didn't even know he was a trial attorney. I didn't even know his name. I'm sadly enough to admit I didn't know most of my papers. I mean, I kind of knew the face, but I'd never really talked to him before. It's not like we've known each other for... Yeah, we've lived literally in proximity to each other for 18, 19 years, but we never really had a discussion with each other until those two moments.
Okay.
I think there's something to just this stuff being in your mind in a certain way. It's like a mindset, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think if I was going through the training like we were going through, I mean, I still would have talked to him, but I don't think I would have taken that extra step of asking him, hey, Glenn, would you be willing to look at this thing and tell me whether we're even remotely in the right place or not? Because I know you, this is what you do. This is, you know, eat, sleep, and drink this stuff. You know how everybody pretty much in your profession sort of views things. And I don't want to be speaking Greek to somebody who wants to hear it in Italian, you know?
Sure.
And he was generous enough to offer. But as we got more into the discussion, you know, he kind of got into it, and he offered these other things. So where it stands right now is he's just like, hey, let's get together, let's meet, you know, and we're going to effectively have, I guess, what essentially could be, you know, I want to find a way to sort of give him referrals, but that's kind of a tough one because I don't know any people that are pissed off at their doctors and want to sue them, you know? So I don't really know sort of how to thread that needle because I really just intuitively like to give first and then if something comes back, great, but, you know, I throw the boomerang, maybe it turns around and comes back, I don't expect it to kind of thing, you know? But that's one of the things, I guess I'm struggling with that and, you know, if you have a COI like that and you don't really have a way to bring them some bacon, so to speak, what do you do? So that you're not always asking and never giving, because nobody wants to hear from that person. But so that's an issue. And then I've been struggling a little bit too. This is kind of off topic, but just since I'm kind of doing the brain dump here, I'm struggling a little bit with. But I'm getting better at it at enforcing the min max. And I've had a habit in the past of maybe taking stuff out of the kindness of my heart, and that after having slept on some stuff in the past week, I'm like, no, I'm not going to get involved in that. No, I'm not going to get involved in that. I feel a little bit like a jerk because I haven't strictly enforced them in the past. So that's kind of a new thing for me to do, and I probably could use some coaching on how to do that without it feeling so awkward.
Okay. I get it. You know, in terms of, you know, your targets.
I just don't want to come across like some arrogant little, you know, I don't want to say it, but, you know, the P word where you're just like, you know, well, my man is blah, 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 you know. I don't like those kind of people. And honestly, I took one this week. And, you know, he was a startup, but I was so impressed after I spent an hour and a half with this guy that I was like, I would love to work with this guy for 30 years. But he's an outlier, and, you know, every once in a while I'll meet somebody like that where I'm like, shit, man, I'd go to dinner and get to know his kids and everything else, and I could give two hoots about how much money he's got or doesn't have. But he came from a center of influence referral, so, like, well, you know, I'm trying to keep this. I've got to go back to that center of influence and have the min-max discussion with him in a way to where he doesn't take it like I'm only willing to take
them. Right, you have to you have to educate them because you know, look, you want to give your clients this elevated level of service, and you know, for every butler you take, okay, they get a 4-1 service, and 12 of the three of those equal one client. So
We're not saying that you can't have them, and especially somebody that's in a startup that's got the potential to grow or have explosive growth, then that's probably not a bad idea. But just remember that you can't steal your book, because they will begin to detract from some of the other things.
Exactly.
And what I would suggest to you, interview someone in your office that you think you could have a special relationship with, not somebody that's going to be a partner, that when that is educated in the ways of Supernova, when you have individuals like that, that you could feel comfortable making the referral to them. And in exchange for that, they're going to split the business with you for a period of time.
Okay.
That way, you can feel comfortable knowing that they're going to get the level of service that you provide. Now, the other thing that you might do is you might invite them to a meeting. You know, when you have your, I don't know, either you do it at the end of the week or the beginning of the week, so that they begin to see the level of organization. And they must abide by your process in order to get referrals. This person could be someone longer term that might end up being a partner. So you get to see how well you work together without making any kind of commitment. So that's one way that you could to handle when things start to get a bit excessive and you start to raise your targets.
Can I throw up?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
This is just kind of a quirk in my personality, and I know it as a quirk. And I don't mean it quirk negative. It's just, it is what it is. I think I do real well, like, with one-on-one with people, you know, as far as it kind of mm-hmm. to them and kind of getting to know what makes them tick and sort of making the challenge of dealing with money and wealth transfer and all this stuff less daunting for them or whatever.
Okay.
So in one-on-ones, I'm fine. If I go into a crowd, I'm fine. I could work rooms or whatever. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me. What I really suck at, honestly, that I just but I've got fortunately two people around me that are pretty damn astute and just really looking at that is sort of navigating the politics of a corporation / office environment type sort of thing.
Sure.
I get any sense?
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know if I'm making any sense or not. My father was on the phone. She'd go, oh, hell yeah, he's making sense, because I know him really well on that. But
you come in, you do your thing, and you leave.
I really prefer to. I'm not going to say I don't ever stick my nose where it doesn't belong, but if I do, I'm trying not to.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I'm not sure if I would necessarily be the guy that would be able to assess who would be the best sort of, I wouldn't trust my sole opinion on, would this advisor over here be somebody that would be good to introduce somebody to if you mm-hmm. don't, hey, go to Merrill or go to, JP Morgan Private Bank or whatever.
Right.
You know, I would really lean more on what Otter and Bridget said than I would on an opinion on something like that.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's very, very important that that the team have a consensus view in terms of who they feel
most comfortable, you know, working with, as well. There's a chapter I wrote in my book, which deals with, one chapter deals with hiring and the other one deals with onboarding somebody into to a new culture dynamic. I'm going to make a copy of that for you to read. I don't think you need it right now, but I think it would be a good thing for every team member to read. I started to understand that, when I was running branches and offices and complexes, that who you let into your culture, into your enclave, you know, is extremely important.
Yeah, it is.
So in a mini micro culture, it is extremely important. And we talk about that. And it's more than identifying somebody that you like. It's somebody that provides some other things in terms of leverage and communication, so on and so forth. So that's something that we can spend some time with. I don't think, you know, like today there's not enough time to really get into that, but that's one of the things I'd be happy to, you know, to share with you, and you should hold that, keep that and on the back burner for now. Because it is important.
Well, the bigger issue is me being more diligent about explaining that midnight to either COIs or prospects or both.
Right.
This feeds into that, what you're talking about, that you'll get to later on. I just want to make sure you're aware that that's something that I need some there.
Yeah, that's an important team dynamic, and you've got to have that. The lawyer COI is a great thing, and I think from a cross referral standpoint, we're going to talk about this VISPA model, and I'm going to show you a way to counter, to work with that. So I think we should probably go ahead and get into some of that material right now. So, all good thoughts, all very, very good in terms of what you shared with me today. I wanted to do, just a tad bit of a review, when we're talking about the client development process, one of the things that I've really learned from your team is that you all are differentiating yourselves with your service model. And you're also beginning to see that when you are differentiating yourself like that, people open up, they talk to you, they bring you more assets. So it's those little things that, you know, don't lose sight of how important those things are. So when we go back to just a brief review of week number 9, we had a matrix in the chapter that dealt with the 5 resources for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that if there were 100 clients that gave you 6 introductions per year, that'd be 600 potential prospects.
Mm-hmm.
But these clients aren't going to give you introductions if they don't feel comfortable doing it, if they don't see that that there's an elevated level of service that they can go out and kind of brag about. So that's why all this kind of starts to fit together in terms of your service model. They can brag about your executive summary. They can brag about the agendas, the topics, the
the emails going out and the folder and, you know, the contact. At first I was overwhelmed. Once a month I thought that was going to be too much, but I kind of found that it keeps me aligned, keeps me informed, and we address some of the other issues that we need to address in terms of my whole financial organization, what have you. So that's the client piece. And everybody that gets onboarded has an opportunity for the 90-day free look. They get an opportunity to kind of test drive your service. They get the folder, they get placed on the calendar, and they get to be treated as if they were a client. And it could be a 30-day close, it could be, you know, a 45-day close or sooner. But that's what they get the opportunity to discover. The COIs are people that are capable of giving you 12 introductions per year. They get a folder. And, you know, you're going to be entertaining questions about what they need from you. Okay? And I'm going to talk about this model that's going to help with that today. And you've got the four-member mastermind group, where once a month, there's four people you're getting together with, and you're sitting there sharing about what each of you needs from one another. It's a mutual support society. So that's your four-member mastermind group. Then you have your two niche markets, which are also providing you with introductions, 10 introductions per year, and then any nonprofit boards that your team is going to sit on that provides introductions. So that's really your resources for growth, and if you do the math, that's probably going to put 300 prospects in the pipeline. So you're not going to have a pipeline issues here as you continue to do this. So what you have to do with the business plan is look at your goal and your target and then kind of back out how many households you think that represents and how much in revenue per household that represents, to really get a feel for how many new relationships that you can take on in the course of the year. Okay? Now, so that's all of the pipeline stuff that you have to manage. Now, when we get into what's called this VIPSA model, this is a referral model. So I want to explain what each of these letters stand for. The V stands for value, and I'll come back to it. The I stands for important, determining what's important, what their priorities are. Okay? The P stands for permission. With your permission, I'd like to brainstorm. Okay, so the P is permission, and the S is suggestion. How would you suggest? How would you suggest I meet with them? What would you suggest they would like to hear in this presentation? What are the hot topics for this group? A is advice. Okay. Asking for advice makes people feel good and valued. How would you advise us to meet with this client? How would you advise us to communicate with this particular prospect?
Or like we did with Lynn, where we're asking to help help evaluate our marketing material to see whether it was on target.
You do that so naturally. Borrowing, thank you. You do it because you're trying to do it. It's just natural. So asking for advice, that's exactly what I'm saying. And that's where you relate to that COI. So let's go back and understand what each of these things mean. So on the value component, when you have a client, you're saying, well, what do you value from this experience? And you're trying to get the client to come over to your side of the table. What do you value? Then when you get into the important component, this is where you start to set aside the priorities. Because sometimes people don't know what's important. But all of a sudden, you know, you've got these agendas and these topics, and light bulbs go off. You start to discover that what you kind of thought was important to them, that they've got some other things that are important. So the whole idea around this is to determine what's important. So,
yeah.
So I'd like to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you get that. The P part of it is permission. You know, with your permission, I'd like to just brainstorm. You know, who in your world, you know, do you think might value the level of service that we provide? You know, people that are closest to you, because you're discussing expanding your circle. Okay? So, with your permission, I'd just like to brainstorm with you. And as you work with Glenn, you might say, look, Glenn, with your permission, I'd like to brainstorm with you. I'm going to speak to this group, but who in that group do you think that after I meet with, you know, might be most appropriate for me to begin to engage in more conversation?
Right.
All right. Then the S stands for suggestion. Well, how would you suggest I meet him or her? Well, Glenn has already done a couple of these things for you. Come to this group and address this group. Okay?
All right.
A is advice. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So asking for advice, again, makes people feel good and valued. And, you know, how would you advise we make this personal introduction? Now, in the back of your mind, you know the three ways that we do this. One is they're hand-holding the client or prospect, and they're bringing them to meet with you. That's the best way. The second best way is it's done via conference call on the phone. And the third way, which is the way that we really don't advocate, is they're giving you a business card that said, I'm going to call this person, you call them to follow up. Okay. That's the third, those are the three ways. I like number one the best. Okay. So, I want to bring you up to date. I want to ask you an important question. What do you value from this experience? Write it down and share it with your team, so that your team begins to fully comprehend and understand what these clients value in the relationship. You know, on the one hand, just being afar, we could say, hey, they like you, you're a good communicator, you pay attention, but what do they value? They may say, look, while the contact and the frequency of the calls are really good, I like the fact that you're paying attention to what's important to me. Okay? So those are the things that you want to write down and share. So with your team, it could be, I like these agendas. I like the fact that you're helping to educate me about things that I didn't even consider. Okay. So that's that VISPA model, VISPA, and that's what you do when you have your centers of influence. You know, you're going to, what's important to you? You know, how can I create some value for you? What direction are you trying to go in? How are you trying to grow? Okay? And start to get to know them in that regard. Okay? So that's how you can turn that model around and focus on the centers of influence. Like I say, this is probably something that would come very natural to you, but you just gotta now remember to do it. Okay?
Okay.
Alright. And a good time to do some of this is when you're doing in-person reviews with the clients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you're going to get referrals. They could be brothers, sisters. You've got to determine if they're qualified or not. They may be people that are closest to these clients at work. Could be boss, could be colleagues, could be neighbors. You're going to have to put them in order of urgency. If somebody's referring the boss, then obviously that's high importance. So you've got to go from high importance to lesser importance. And, you know, tell me about the boss. You know, what's on his mind? What's he dealing with on a day-to-day basis? Well, clearly, family's important to him. His church is important to him because he talks about it all the time. So, he's a man of principled values, and that's important in any relationship he's engaged with. So you get to go into a meeting with a little extra here in terms of what's important. Now, there's more than a couple, but the advisors that use this model, this is where their business accelerates. You know, one guy by the name of Luke Wiley's gone from 800 to 2 million, and, you know, Blaine Warner went from 900 to 2.5 million. Just working this model, sitting down, having it cold, and just building relationship after relationship. You're partially using it. Now it becomes really a part of your business development repertoire. Okay. I think I want to, you know, find out if you have any questions on that model before we kind of conclude our day.
I've got a few. I just wanted to, I'm sending you an email. Audra sent an email about 8:30 today. Where I haven't had ready access to my email. She said she has an 11:20 doctor's appointment that was set long before this call. So that's she did notify us that she had to miss the call. So I'm just sending you just a quick email to that effect, Curtis. And everybody.
And she could go on and listen to the video.
But over to the VISPA thing. This is powerful stuff. I'm not there yet, okay? I mean, I know, like, parts of this, but it's all in how you do it and the way you do it and,
how you say it, right.
And how you say it and timing and a lot of other things. I think we can learn how to do it. We need some more coaching, and I think we would all benefit from that. I think referrals has always been one of those things that's been a sticking point in our group. Kind of feel like we don't know how to do it very well in terms of, you know, and this is a way where you can do it without coming across like you're asking them to give you a referral, which is one of the things I like about it.
Yeah, like how about a referral? Have they gotten a referral, Candy?
It's subtle, but it's not sneaky either, you know? I mean, there's no BS in this. It's just it's a way of doing it. And it's just, I think it's one of those things like riding a bike where you just got to, once you learn how to do it, you don't forget how to do it, you know? But you got to learn how to do it.
Exactly. A comment I would make, usually when I preface this discussion, I ask financial advisors, I say, well, do you deserve referrals? Have you earned referrals?
Mm-hmm.
And then do you have a process to receive them?
Right.
Okay. So clearly, in terms of what you're doing and your service model and all of that, you're positioning yourself to deserve them. And as you implement Supernova across the board, you will earn them. And so then you need a process to receive them. So your process is they get a folder. They get put on the scheduler.
Right.
They get the 90-day free look. So nothing ever falls through the cracks.
Well, and the thing I like about this, too, is it resonates with, I think, a core philosophy within our group, which is, look, we want to give first, and if we get something in return, you know, great, but we're not, but you got to give first. And I don't think anybody on our group likes these people that sort of, you know, want the free lunch where they're asking for stuff that's not really giving something in return before they ask for something. And so to add value and to add more commitment, more service, and a better client experience, you know, I like that aspect of it where we're focusing on the current client first, and then, you know, these other things, if implemented properly, will naturally flow out of that improvement in our practice. As opposed to, you know, expecting something without delivering anything to them.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that. And that's why on the front end we spend so much time on segmentation, organization, getting you ready, the folder system, because the client acquisition piece becomes huge. And if you're not ready to make the leap because you haven't done the other things, you can't make that incremental leap. So, you know, I really want you to be able to grow your client base with the targets that you set, and, you know, understand those concepts that were covered in 9 and 10. So that you can be ready to receive this, and your because the business doesn't stop, it keeps going. But you know, you all are getting there. You really, really are getting there. So I'm really pleased with what you're doing.
Well, you've been doing a great job with us. I mean, the way you explain it and everything, it makes it you know, it makes it easier to go through the change, because it's not, you know, this isn't easy stuff when you have to do all this extra work that, you know, you're not accustomed to in the midst of all this other stuff that's going on in the industry right now. And
even in
a firm, there's a lot of stuff that, like, Bridget gets hit with that is, I mean, I don't imagine what it's like, because it seems like we've got, you know, a lot of change going on rapidly. But it's good change, and but it helps to have the right, you know, coach and right leader to help with that. So thanks. We appreciate all you've done.
Oh, good. That's good to hear, and I appreciate it. And, you know, as always, if you need me for anything, you're welcome to call, email me, and, you know, I want you all to enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll chat with you on the next call.
Quick question.
Yeah, sure. All right. Okay.
I'm going to walk in. Is there any way we can get a replay of the call for Audra, right? Because they'll give us the, they'll send that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the, if you haven't, kind of noticed, you get an email follow up.
Exactly.
That's got, right. All of the calls. So they're all recorded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
so she'll be able to have that.
This is one week where I think it would benefit Audra to listen to that VISTA part. And,
okay.
I just encourage her to get on that. And I don't want to take up your next call, and I've got a client coming in as well. So, but we really do appreciate all your help, Curtis.
All right. Good. I enjoy working with you.
Okay.
Feelings mutual.
All right.
All righty. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.